Ah, there we are then. That's The Greatest Showman and Never Enough, which I didn't choose that. You chose that, Danny, from The Fit Mindset Code. I don't know why you chose that, but obviously I said, come on, let's play you one with a song, and that's the one you chose.
Guilty pleasure at the moment.
Do you want to tell the story, the embarrassing story?
What, the singing in the truck?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I have some softer, slower tracks for my yoga that I do in the gym before I do my resistance training. And one evening, I still had the playlist playing in my truck as I left One Leisure, Medina. And on Fairley Road, I was singing It's Never Enough at the top of my voice with my window down. And the traffic stopped, and the woman opposite me, going the opposite direction, with a... quite a ghastly look on her face, was listening to me singing, and I'm not very good at singing, so I just carried on going. I thought, I'm not going to stop singing, so I just carried on going. So one of my guilty pleasures in life is
fair enough,
listening to The Greatest Showman. Don't tell my wife, because
well, apparently she likes Hugh Jackman.
She does,
and
yeah.
She's also like put you down a little bit, and me and you got something in common, because if we weren't married to our wives would be married to Hugh Jackman.
Well, they'd be both would be fighting each other for him.
They probably would. They'd fall out, actually, wouldn't they?
She has a bit of a soft spot for Wolverine. So
right, okay. Yeah. Is that why you're doing the knife thing today?
Yes, that's why I've got a knife strapped to my arms.
Look, we should point out that Danny's been coming in now for the last couple of months with the Fit Mindset Code. Just outline it for us, people that are just tuning in for the first time.
Yeah, the Fit Mindset Code is a health, fitness and well-being system that allows people to make a positive change to their lives over a sustained period of time, a life change, but focus on nutrition and forming good habits. So you kind of become a better version of yourself over a 6 month to a year period, and not just focus on weight loss. It's a whole system to actually make the change easier and more sustainable.
Okay, so we the first session was talking about, and you can get these if you missed the first two sessions, you can get them on our website now. And it was talking, we went through what I was eating and drinking and so on and so forth.
Yep.
Then we reported back some weeks later after you saying you should drop this, drop that, and we'll recap on that in a mo. And here we are. This is our third session, and we're going to talk about how things are. And you mentioned yoga.
Yoga, yes,
and,
yoga.
And, so what is the next? Are we going to be talking about the next stages for me once I've worked out that, these things, they're working. I guarantee they're working.
Yep.
I mean, we talked through just a basic recap. I was having too much sugar in my coffee. I was having six teaspoons a day. And when you add that up, that's quite a lot.
It's a lot of hollow calories. So you get no benefit from it at all, apart from weight gain.
And beans as well, which I just thought beans were really, really good for you. But I'm guessing if you strained the beans off, they would be fine. But it's all the sauce with
it's all the additives that they put into it, because it's, those sort of processed foods are designed to taste nice, so you want them more and more.
I was 13 and a half stone. I put on a few pounds.
Yep.
And I've had quite a hectic kind of month. I've had a birthday, and everyone wants to take you out for a meal. Everyone wants to. I mean, last week, even a week after my birthday, my lovely in-laws, they said, "Oh, we booked you because we knew you were doing stuff on your birthday." So they took me out to some place where it's a buffet and you can eat as much as you like, and then it just kicks in.
But see, that part of my system is being able to manage those situations, those life events, because you can actually preset. Reduce calories leading up to the event, and then you can reduce your calories post the event, so that over a 7 or a 14 day period you average out the same amount of calories. That's what I do. So if I've got a family function to go to, I kind of work out that I need to drop a couple of hundred calories per day for the 5 days before, and then a couple of hundred calories for the next sort of 3 or 4 days afterwards, and that eases it out, because weight gain doesn't happen instantly. Weight gain and fat gain happens over a 14-day period, roughly, 7 to 14 days, depending on your metabolism. So it's not an instant hit. Eating a big meal is not going to put fat on instantly. It will take at least 7 days.
Well, look, I've got some good news. Yeah. Okay, the bad news is over the last month, I have pigged out quite a lot. And not every day, but quite often.
Yeah.
I went to some place in Southampton and on my birthday because it was free, and it's you can go back and have as much as you like. And I'm afraid that, you know, the gloves are off and I didn't pay any attention to anything,
right?
Like a kid in a sweetie shop and so on and so forth. Okay, but the good news is that I've had moments over the last month where I have gone and eaten and forgotten all about it, just gone for it.
Right.
But running alongside that, I have been very strict with the sugar in the coffee.
Excellent.
The beans as well, which we'll come to the toast and the bread thing in a minute. But I sit here before you today with a 2 pound weight loss.
Brilliant. Well
so,
done.
So even after that tough time,
yeah.
And my belief is now, because you've had that other thing running alongside, i.e. the sugar and so on and so forth, if I hadn't have done that, I could possibly be sat here saying, well, I've put on 7 pounds.
Exactly, yeah. No, the sugar was a quick win. That was an easy quick win, and it's going to reduce, you know, quite a few calories instantly without you really even noticing from a satiety point of view, because half the problem with restrictive caloric diets is that everybody's hungry all the time.
Yeah.
And there are ways to manage that. But the sugar is an easy one because the sugar is never going to fill you up. So if you cut it out, you cut out calories, which are hollow calories because you get nothing from them. So
no, it's working. But good. But my mindset now is, yeah. See, I'm even using the terminology. Yeah, mindset now is, okay, if we're sensible and we apply these things and we continue with them, the next couple of weeks you'll see a bigger loss,
yeah.
Because you're not pigging out with, you know, birthday treats and so on and so forth. Which I, you know, I'm being very, very sensible about.
Okay.
You mentioned being hungry. My wife said, because we more or less eat and drink the same sorts of things. She doesn't have the massive amount of sugar in her. She don't drink coffee. She has a tea,
yeah.
But she'll have she may have had 6 cups of tea, which amounts to same thing, 6 spoons of sugar.
Yeah.
And I look at that and I think, well, okay, so you're restricting that. You've done the sweetness thing as well.
Yeah.
And I still struggle with the sweetener. We'll come back to that in a moment.
Okay, yeah.
But we're being strict on that. But she is more than me. At the evening, after we've had our evening meal and gone out for a walk, she comes in and she says, do you know what? I'm really hungry. I'm really, really hungry. And I said, well, that's not healthy to be hungry, I'm guessing. So maybe you've got to find something that is healthy for you. Like just say, for instance, a handful of nuts. A handful of nuts may, you know, at 7:30 at night, knowing full well that you're going to be in bed, by 10 o'clock, that'll just get you over, and that will be probably easier, well, better than going for a bag of crisps or making a sandwich or something like that.
Yeah, the nuts is twofold. First of all, it does satisfy your hunger quite quickly, and secondly, it's mainly good fats in the nuts, which get metabolised. Differently or not in the same way as sugar. It's not an instant hit of energy that your body needs. So your body has to work a bit harder with the nuts to actually turn them into energy. You've already got body fat available, which has already been metabolized, yeah. And gone through the process. So your body will use that first. So if you've only got fat in your body from a dietary perspective, you'll actually be utilizing your body fat for energy before it can metabolize the dietary fat. The old adage, don't eat too much fat in your diet because it'll make you fat, is wrong. Fat doesn't make you fat. Overeating makes you fat.
Right. Okay. Well, I've done that many a time in my life, but now it's almost like, well, okay, I'm full now. I feel much better for it. And I've got to be honest with you, the sleep pattern so far from the weekend just gone has been far better than it's been for a long, long time.
Wow.
I mean, I feel like I'm under enormous pressure most of the time.
Yeah.
And I feel that pressure is bigger because of the lack of sleep.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that, you know, the last 5 days since not having alcohol and not overeating and the sugar thing and so on and so forth, good things are starting to happen.
That's brilliant.
I've had occasional days in the last month where, and occasional nights where you've had a reasonable night's sleep, but it's probably the last 3, 4, maybe even 5 nights sleep has been like quite extended. And, you know, I don't feel that there are times when I would go to bed and I will feel uncomfortable because I feel like I've overeaten, but I haven't.
Yeah.
And few days, that's changed. So I'm thinking all those things that you've had running alongside all the bad things that you've been doing have actually helped.
Yeah.
And if I hadn't done the bad things, I'd be sat here now and I'd probably be saying I'm down to 13 stone.
Yeah.
Which my target is the end of the month, that or somewhere near the end of the early part of next month, that's where I want to be.
Yeah.
You know, overall, I want to be 12 stone 7. That was the target.
That was your target, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, I think we can achieve that reasonably easily as long as it's slow and steady. But the two things is going back to your the hunger that your wife feels and sometimes you feel, and the stress. They're two very, very important component parts of how, as humans, we react to what we eat and our mental approach to then making decisions on what we're next going to, you know, eat, make a bad decision or a good decision, and that's hormones. With your stress, cortisol, especially for middle-aged men, cortisol is an absolute killer when it comes to trying to get fit and healthy. So if you're always stressed, cortisol levels, they're basically the nemesis for the male hormone testosterone. So the higher your cortisol, the lower your testosterone is going to be. And then if your testosterone is low, your estrogen levels rise because they go yin and yang. And then you've got a greater propensity to put on body fat. Estrogen is the fat producing hormone. So getting stress out of your body as a middle-aged man is very, very important because it means your testosterone has a much better chance of being higher. Therefore, your mental state will be better. Therefore, your muscle production will be easier if you're going to the gym and exercising. Muscle is much more efficient for burning energy than fat. Therefore, you'll burn more energy, lose more body fat, feel better, holistic improvement all round. So stress out of your life is an important one. The other hormone which is connected with hunger is called ghrelin, or ghrelin. Ghrelin is produced on a time clock. So when you eat on a regular basis at a similar time, ghrelin is then produced in anticipation of you eating. So we feel hungry at a similar time each day, maybe mid-morning, because we always have something mid-morning. But this doesn't mean you're hungry. It's your alarm clock going off saying, we normally eat at this time, we want some food, and your stomach's ready for that. You've got to kind of ignore that, and it takes about 2 weeks to reset that ghrelin clock so that it doesn't go off at the times you normally eat. Therefore, you won't feel hungry at the times that you don't need any food. It's just it's a habit, basically. It's a habit hormone, and it needs to be reset.
Okay.
Yeah.
The habits thing, I mean, yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, every morning I wake up, coffee's there. And I'm struggling at the moment. I'm going through with it, but I'm struggling with the coffee, not having three sugars, because I haven't found that because I really thought, my wife said something really, you know, I could have said, oh, you lucky thing this morning and so on. I did think it. You know, she said, oh, you know, I've got used to the fact that I'm not having sugar in my tea now. Well, see, the thing is, you only have one. You only used to have one. I had three.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm struggling with. And every morning she'll bring the coffee, and I'll it makes me sound like I'm some kind of lord where she brings me the coffee. The reason why she does this is because then I'm not in the kitchen getting in the way.
Yeah.
Breakfast time, the worst thing that can happen. Two grumpy people that have just got up getting in each other's way. So I'm out of the way. Coffee comes up. I then take a taste, and I look forward to the sweet taste. Oh no! And I'm still at that zone where, all right, yeah, we're on this. And it's even got to the point now where I've kind of given up the coffee during the course of the day. After breakfast, I'll go home and have I love those the Bovril sachets. I was getting it wrong, but I have one of those instead.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, well, I just run that by you because it's, you know, I have one of those before bed and one of those at lunchtime now instead of a coffee, because I kind of got used to it. Well, I haven't got used to the fact that there's no, you know, it's not, I don't enjoy it.
Right.
I don't enjoy drinking coffee anymore.
Unless it's got the sugar in it. Well, the Bovril is probably, it's not a bad thing. You know, there's some extra salt in it and some flavourings and stuff. You probably just need to look on the back of the packet, see what's actually in it. But if it breaks the habit of you having three sugars in your coffee,
yeah,
then that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Because you're never going to get addicted to Bovril.
No. Right. Although I love it. I do. But do you know what? You say that, I'm not addicted to it. My wife said, I got this thing on my watch where I can say, you know, 30-minute timer or 5-minute timer. She's made the bottle, she's brought it in, and I've got on my watch, and I said, right, 7-minute timer. And she said, what are you doing that for? And I said, because it's 7 minutes. When you bring that in, it's perfect timing to drink it.
Oh, right, it's too hot otherwise, yeah.
Yeah. And it's no good cold, or it's no good, like, that's the perfect time to drink. So I am kind of got addicted to it.
Okay.
But I won't have more than two.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's, I, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess there are addictions and there are addictions. That, you know, I don't think you're probably ever going to steal family who feed your Bovril bit. So, you know, there's life-affecting addictions and there's kind of cravings and stuff. But let's say, I think I said to you before, that the fact that you can form bad habits... and have bad habits is a good thing,
yeah.
Because you have the capacity to form good habits. You know, if you have the potential for habit forming, it doesn't matter whether they're good or bad, you can form habits. So people that say, I've got lots of bad habits, I think that's a good thing, because they're actually in a better position, because we have the building blocks for changing them to good habits. So
right, yeah. Okay. One other positive thing, that I had a little jog today, because
wow.
I was a little bit late. Well, I wasn't. I was bang on time. I always tell Oscar, you've got to be here at 9:30. And I thought, I was running a little bit late. So I thought, well, it's a 15-minute walk and I left at 10 minutes. So I thought, I've got to run for 5 minutes.
Right.
And I ran for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And as I was running, I was thinking, crikey, when you did this a couple of weeks ago, when you were late for another meeting, there was a real struggle. And then I stopped and I thought, cool, a couple of weeks ago, I was out of breath.
Right.
I would have been really, really struggling. And I feel lighter. You know when you run and you feel a bit sluggish and so on and so forth? And I felt like I could have carried on I could have done the whole journey.
Right, that's good.
I thought I looked really stupid walking down the road with a bag, you know, or jogging down the road with a bag. I just felt it was really silly. but, you know, I got here on time and I wasn't puffed out.
Well, that's
and I
good.
Was kind of, so,
yeah,
so you can,
really good.
All these small things are happening.
Yeah, they're all little quick wins and you just build on them over a period of time. And then, you know, lo and behold, in 6 months' time, you're a stone and a half lighter, you look better, you feel better, you sleep better, and you're in an all-round better place. But it's got to be, you know, slow and steady wins the race.
Yeah.
It's not a crash diet. It's not a fad thing.
No.
It's not losing 12 pounds in a week. It's a pound or a pound and a half a week, nice and steady for 6 months, 8 months, you know, and then you've got more chance of it staying where you want it to be.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because I'm going to steal a quote from Donald Trump.
Oh, dear.
In the last 24 hours, it was, hey, we've made America great.
Oh, I heard that this morning.
America great. And now the next stage is keep America great.
Yeah.
So it's a case of, yeah, okay, you've done your weight thing, and now you need to keep that weight off.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's the next stage. Now, I'm guessing you've worked out, you know, we did 6 sessions.
Yeah.
And this is session 3. There must be a point at a time where you're going to talk me through yoga and things like that, because is that part of it?
It is part of it if you want to put some exercise into the process. It's not absolutely fundamental. As I've spoken before, I don't do a great deal of cardio, but I do things like yoga sessions to make sure I keep my flexibility and my joint health. And you just need to find an exercise which suits your lifestyle.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be going to the gym and weightlifting and deadlifting and squatting and stuff. It doesn't have to be pounding the streets running. It can be whatever you want.
Okay. All right. Before we do that, we're going to take a break and we come back and we do that. Bread.
Yeah.
I was looking up, because obviously I've substituted, I've gone back to my old ways of egg, sausage, and it's in a toaster, and it does the whole thing together. So you've got your egg that's pre, your sausage that's pre-cooked.
Yeah.
Your egg, you crack an egg, put it into a little pan, and it's got a little thing on this toaster, and you there's some water on it, and it cooks the egg,
right.
And you do your toast, and it all comes together all at once. So you've got a toast and egg machine.
Right.
Okay, instead of the beans.
Okay.
So I've ditched the beans. And...
I don't know why, but I've got the start of Wallace and Gromit, The Wrong Trousers, in my head. You know? I don't know what Stuart would describe it.
But then you mentioned bread. Bread's not the best thing to have on a daily basis. But then I looked up, well, is there any healthy breads that you can have? And I forget the terminology. Is it sour
Yeah, sour breads and soda breads, and there's nut breads, and there's
sour breads is the one thing that I'm on. Is that a good thing? Is that a good substitution?
It's better than the normal white bread. Yeah.
Okay, so that's what I've done, and I must admit, I don't notice any difference in the taste.
Okay.
So that's another little win plus. And maybe at some point in the next future, in the next little while, you know, I'll think of something else for breakfast. My wife is on the oats, yogurt and fruit. And there's something in the news today that if you eat yogurt on a daily basis, you're going to be healthier anyway. I can't do yogurt and oats and fruit in the morning.
I can't either. My wife is exactly the same. She has her porridge, yogurt and her frozen fruit as a mix virtually every morning. And I can't eat that either. So
no.
If I'm going to have breakfast, and I don't normally have breakfast, it's a fry up. It's eggs, bacon and sausages and stuff
right.
Like that. That's what I have for breakfast.
Okay. Well, see, I have that breakfast main to me, that's my favorite meal.
Yeah.
That's Monday to Friday, that's what I will have. And it will keep me going virtually until tea time. And if I have a rather large banana at lunchtime, I've cut out the crisps.
Good.
Not fully.
Yeah.
But I have cut them out.
Yeah.
I've gone 50% so far.
Okay. I did leave you some crisps in there.
Yeah, I know you
did. Cut them down because there was three bags on and I made it one.
Well, my wife has gone one better. She's basically only buying enough for a week.
Okay.
And that's it. Yeah. And she knows that I won't buy
any. But the key... Yeah, and we spoke about this a month or so ago. There's a difference between health, fitness, and losing weight and losing fat. Mm. If you just want to focus on losing weight and body fat, it's about being in a caloric deficit. If you want to be healthy whilst you do it, you make better choices about the food you're eating.
Sure.
So you can lose weight on eating crisps and drinking Coke, but providing you're in a caloric deficit, you just won't be very well doing it. That's the difference. So,
do you have? I mean, you mentioned you had a guilty pleasure there musically.
Hmm.
Do you have a guilty pleasure food wise?
Yeah, I do. My kryptonite is are we allowed to? It's peanut cupcakes. There's a
right.
I think they're made by Reese's.
Yeah, okay,
the Reese's peanut cup. That's my kryptonite. I see one of those. I've got to have.
So are you?
But that's half chocolate, half peanut. So I see that as balanced.
Right. Okay. When it suits you. when I can do that, I can't do that. But when it suits you, it's all right.
Yeah, but you've got to remember that I'm in a significant caloric deficit on a daily basis and have been for the last 7 months. My body fat percentage is probably 8% at the moment.
Right.
I'm on a downward trend weight wise. So if I have the odd peanut cupcake, it's not going to do too much damage.
No, okay. Yeah. Well, I bet you don't just have one, do you?
I'll just have one, and then I'll...
That's controlled.
Yeah.
So, for instance...
I'll give you another example of how odd I am. We went on holiday a couple of weeks ago to Greece, to all-inclusive holiday resort.
This annoys
all
me.
All you can eat. And
And
it was lovely, absolutely amazing resort. And we came back, and the next morning, my wife said, "Oh, go on then, what's your morning weigh-in?" And I came back in the bedroom and I said, 2 pounds. And she went, "You've only put 2 pounds on after a week of all-inclusive." I went, "No, I've lost 2 pounds.
God, that's so frustrating.
And I think she threw something at me at that point.
I bet she put on a couple of pounds.
I couldn't say.
No, I know I wouldn't say, because otherwise it wouldn't be worth your life, would it? It wouldn't really.
No.
We'll take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about other things that we need to be doing.
Yep.
And obviously we're working towards the ultimate goal. And obviously this is six sessions. We're at session three.
Yep.
What else have we got to look forward to?
Well, there's habit changing. So we need to look at your current habits and then work ways of actually changing them and putting a habit tracker in place. We have to look at learning something new. I was speaking to a friend of mine yesterday. He's actually a mutual friend of ours, and I'll tell you who that is in the break.
Right.
This mutual friend does one of the more fashionable weight reduction systems. You know, they watch weight, or you know, one of those. Yeah.
Okay.
Are we allowed to say Weight Watchers? I don't know, but
mention Weight Watchers.
I know. Promoting things on radio is always controversial, but she does one of these Weight Watchers. I'm not sure that's the one she does, but all they concentrate on is your weight. It's a number. They just constant number, and people get fixated with the number on the scales, whereas my system looks at actually looking at a rounded approach. So if you learn something new a new skill, you actually start focusing on that.
Yeah.
And if it has an aerobic or a cardio aspect to it, then you actually improve your holistic health at the same time. So you then don't become focused with the number. It becomes a byproduct of your lifestyle. Not the key focus of your every waking moment, which means you, if you're in that position, all you do is focus on food. And you do the sort of cartoon thing where you visualise every small animal as a, joint of ham and that sort of thing.
So, I've done that.
Yeah.
Okay, look, we'll come back. We'll take a break and we'll come back in 2 ticks.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, Isle of Wight's community station.
We all know that keeping fit and healthy eating is important. We also know that regular exercise is part of a healthy lifestyle. But we also know that finding the time, motivation and energy isn't easy. The Fit Mindset Code is here to help. Contact Danny on 07966 070 636 or visit our website on www.thefitmindsetcode.com. We offer an holistic, systematic approach to health and well-being because it's all in the mindset.
Immerse yourself in nostalgia of how railways used to be at the Isle of Wight Steam Railway. Our genuine island locomotives and carriages date back to Victorian times and are immaculately restored to pristine condition. The one-hour train ride takes you through unspoilt countryside and woodland. So come and enjoy a journey with a difference at the Isle of Wight Steam Railway. For further details, visit iwsteamrailway.co.uk.
Vectis Radio 104.6. Our broadcasters are is and abilities. This is what makes us your local station. VectisRadio.com.
The Mid-Morning Show is proudly sponsored by PC Consultants, the island's leading provider of IT service, consultancy and support to businesses, public sector and private clients across the island. Call us at PC Consultants on 01983 811 711 to find out more about our award-winning service.
Oh, crikey. There's another NAF tune that... like that, though. That's similar to what you chose earlier on.
Yeah, you want to kind of tap along to that one, don't you?
Yeah, 1982 that came out. Crikey. I was going out with a girl called Jackie Morris. Do you know her? anyway, look, we've got Danny in from the Fit Mindset Code, and we're talking about weight. We're talking about healthy foods. We're talking about, putting good things in your mind and swapping the bad ones, and so on and so forth. And we mentioned that we've done all the foods. There'll be other things that we'll talk about. We mentioned the sour breads as well. Oscar has just joined us as well. Oscar's come in. He's like you. He's as thin as a rake, and he ain't got a problem at the moment. So we're going to talk about his healthy food side of things. But we're also going to talk about, you mentioned yoga and the healthy kind of stuff. Now, I'm not into going to gyms and pounding and doing all that stuff.
No, it's not for everybody.
I'm still doing my sit-ups. All right.
Okay. We've spoken about this, haven't we?
For the tape.
Where are abs made in?
They're made in the kitchen.
Yeah, correct. So unless you're doing your sit-ups in the kitchen, you're not.
I'm working on the kitchen bit. But I'm just, I just feel like I'm doing, because I've got, there's things, when am I toasting eggs doing? It takes 5 minutes.
Right.
So I do 5 minutes worth of sit-ups.
Okay.
Come on, that's not, you shouldn't be criticising me
for that.
I
reckon 5 minutes of sit-ups is probably going to burn about, 50 calories.
So. Is that good?
Not really.
Do you think I should stop it then?
considering your egg's probably going to give you 150 calories, so.
Right,
just one egg.
So. I'm going to give up then on that and see how. So I'm going to chuck out that wonderful thing that I do.
Yeah, I would.
All right, I'm going to do that then. So come on, what should I be doing to burn more?
From a cardiovascular health perspective, you need to take your heart rate up, bring it back down, and take your heart rate up and bring it back down. So things like HIIT training are very popular at the moment.
Oh, what training?
HIIT, high-intensity interval training, which is kind of 20-minute bursts of exercise, whether that's running or on a bike or burpees and those sort of things. But it's quite intensive, that is. But if you're really not a gym goer and you're not a runner or anything like that, you can go kayaking, you could go walking, make it hill walking, so you're actually, you know, taking your heart rate up by going up hills, that sort of thing. You can start dancing lessons, you can do yoga's very good, you can do Pilates. My wife actually runs, she does Fit Steps, which is strictly from dancing exercise classes. So right. You do ballroom dancing and Latin American and that sort of thing in a class. As an individual, you're just doing the steps to the rumba or the, you know, the tango, whatever. And you do that for an hour, and that's really good cardio. And you're learning to dance at the same time.
Can I just do 20 minutes of sit-ups?
you like sit-ups?
Yeah, kind of. I don't know. I just feel as though they're doing something.
So but you do them with this sort of the mindset that it's actually helping your...
Yeah,
your abdomen region.
I try.
It has the only thing it does is make your abs stronger. That's all it does. You won't lose any weight around your middle. I see a lot of men in the gym doing sit-ups, and I really want to tap them on the shoulder and say you need to sort out your nutrition before you start doing sit-ups, because you're probably extending your abdomen by making the muscles bigger, because doing sit-ups makes the muscles stronger. Making them stronger makes the muscles bigger. Therefore, they will push your belly out even more. So you will actually be extending your midriff more than reducing it.
Right.
You can't spot reduced fat. Your fat is reduced by your genetics.
So can I go back to sit-ups in about a month's time and I've lost a bit?
You can. I'm going to say you can do sit-ups as much as you want as an exercise.
But they won't
reduce your belly fat. It can't spot reduce your belly fat. So if you just use them as an exercise, as part of an exercise regime, and you get your heart, you know, do them quickly and get your heart rate up, then it's good heart health. But
abs are made in the kitchen.
They are.
Okay. So getting your heart rate up.
Yeah.
None of that appeals, what you just said. So is there another way of doing it?
There is one, but
go on.
Yeah, Mrs. Mack might have something to say about that, but.
Right, okay.
Burn some calories there, so.
Okay. What, are you thinking, what?
No, going out for a walk with your wife.
Oh, going out for a walk.
What were you thinking?
Well, I was thinking, happy days. Danny said to me, love.
So what about your heart health and your testosterone levels?
Well, put me down for two of those. Okay.
Yeah.
But we do go out for a walk every day.
Okay, that's good.
We do walk 10,000 steps.
Yep.
Every day.
See, people get obsessed with the 10,000 steps. I don't think it's a bad thing, but I think you'd be better off doing 5,000 steps and doing them upstairs, up and downstairs to get your heart rate up,
right,
than 10,000 on the flat.
Okay.
So what you need to give your cardiovascular system a bit of a boost, so therefore you become... healthier and fitter to be able to sustain the exercise that you need to improve your caloric deficit by doing more exercise. So
that
the healthier
sense.
You become, the more exercise you can do, the more strain you can put on your body, therefore the more fat you can burn, and the more times you can get yourself into something called ketosis, which is effectively exercising without any food in your system, and you start using your body fat for energy. Which is why people like doing running, because it gets them into ketosis.
That makes sense. You mentioned not yogurt, yoga.
Yoga, yeah. I like yogurt, but I do yoga. Yes,
right.
I do yoga before every resistance session that I do in the gym. I get some odd looks from people because most people are in the gym to push weights, and I'm balancing on one foot and doing the bird pose and doing my I have to be careful how I say this, downward dog and cat pose and all those sort of things. And
go on, ask the question, Oscar. You've got to ask it.
What's downward dog?
What's a downward dog? Yeah.
That's putting your feet on the floor flat,
right?
Then putting your hands on the floor flat into sort of a bridge position, so that your back and your backside is the highest point. So it's like touching your toes and then walking your hands out a bit, so you make a little sort of bridge position.
Well, you can do that.
And then going down into a kind of a flat position, like a press-up position in one movement, and then a bit arch your back. So it's good for your back health.
I better wait until the wife's home for that, because I don't want to get stuck somewhere.
Yeah, you can.
That'll be... But I take your point on the you know the cardio thing. I really want to find something that's unique to me that I can do it because all of this you have to be able to want to do it and do it.
Well, music is your life, isn't it?
Yeah.
So why don't you go and learn to dance? Why don't you take your wife and then you're doing something with your wife that then improves your relationship as well with your better half. You both learn something new. You both get healthier and fitter. You both have a laugh.
Right.
Laughter is really good. That reduces cortisol. Therefore, you're becoming less stressed. You look forward to doing the dance classes. And then when you go to your social functions, you can take the wife out on the dance floor and throw your white jacket off into the corner and, you know, staying alive.
Yeah,
literally.
All right. Yeah. No. Okay. I'll give that one some thought. But yeah, that's the one thing that I want to step up on is the cardiovascular thing. To me that would be right. Okay, you're putting all these things in place, food wise, eating, drinking, and so on. But then you've got to help yourself a little bit by doing all these other things as well.
They used to do dance classes here at you know, in the little centre next door.
I don't want to go anywhere that people know me.
You've got to do things. Now, I would say, because I like to do things that scare me. And I have a kind of adage in life that if it's something that you don't want to do, you really should do it.
Okay.
Yeah, so you don't want to go somewhere where people know you to learn to dance, then I think you should really go somewhere where people know you and learn to dance.
You're backing me in a corner now. And, yeah. You never know.
This is how you become a better version of you. You do things that scare you.
I like that. I do. I like that saying. I think that's you know, because it's not just about the food.
No,
it's everything. Like you say, it's all in
the mind.
Everything,
and if you only focus on the food and you only focus on the number and that becomes your you know your sole purpose in life, you're missing a whole aspect of life, which is you know having a bit of fun. But you become obsessed with it, and then at some stage you can't hold that obsession, and then you fall off the wagon, and then you start putting the weight back on. If you've got a whole lifestyle change and you become a new version of you in 6 months, then you're not obsessed with it and there's no wagon to fall off because it's just you, it's your lifestyle.
Now look, Oscar's in and I just want to involve him in a minute, take the heat off of me a bit. I want to say to you, Oscar, look, I'm looking you in the eye, I used to be as thin as you. I used to be as skinny as you. And then, obviously, you know, life happens. You eat and you drink and so on and so forth. And all of a sudden, you get to look like me. And at the moment, I mean, I would imagine no matter what you eat, you're going to burn it off.
Yeah.
But at some point, you know, you're going to start putting weight on.
How old are you, Oscar?
17.
17, yeah. So he's in his prime years for basically eating whatever you want. And there's your metabolism will just eat it up and be net effect zero. In a couple of years you'll start being maybe when you're 18 or so you'll be able to start putting on some muscle through exercising and eating, but then once you get to I was this probably similar physique to you. By the time I got to 40 I'd realized that you know mission creep had sort of caught up with me and suddenly I had a skinny fat dad bod and no muscle at all, and that's why I wanted to get fit for my 50th, because all I had was body fat. I was over 13 stone and no muscle. So, and so I need to reverse that. So I know I'm kind of very slight at the moment and quite, you know, my body fat percentage is low. But I have to work hard at it, you know, because when you're over 50, you do.
Can you eat as much? Do you have a big appetite?
Yeah.
Really big appetite.
Yeah.
Really and you don't put anything. See, I used to be like that at all as well. I used to be like that as well. I would eat. I remember going around my sister's house and she made these spaghetti meatballs and these meatballs were massive. And they still talk about the amount that I eat even now. I used to say things like, you've got hollow legs and things like that.
Hollow legs, that's what my mum used to say.
Yeah.
Where are you putting that, Daniel? You must have hollow legs.
Yeah. But you'd burn it off.
Yeah.
And it's not now that you've got to worry about it, it's later on.
Yeah.
You know, later in life when, you know, you get married and so on and so forth, you take your foot off the accelerator and you all of a sudden it starts mounding up and you think, where did this all come from?
Yeah.
Well, things change. That's what you've got to look forward to. Now, we were talking about your dad as well, because he's hit the gym just very recently and we said he was solid, didn't we? We said he was stocky and solid.
Yeah.
And he goes to the gym and he does, just talk us through what his regime is.
So he does... he does the bike, so he does, I think he does about 20 minutes, he does 20 minutes on the bike, then he started doing weights at the gym.
Is this a bike that he goes outside and cycles?
No, it's, an indoor bike.
Are they good things?
Like a spin fit bike.
Yeah. Are they good things to get?
Well, it's good for, you know, cardiovascular health, yeah.
Yeah, rowing machine, that sort of thing.
Rowing machine's better, I think, because you're using your whole body.
Well, look, let me tell you, when I'm doing my sit-ups, okay, I hook my feet underneath the old sofa, and I'm doing that as I'm coming up. So I am doing a bit of a rowing effect.
Right. You have the song on as well. Is it Cool in the Gang?
Gap Band.
Gap Band, not Cool in
the
Gang.
No, yeah, I don't have that on. No. Yeah. Well, I just pick a song that's 5 minutes, and then I'm going for it.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's going to, you know, get your heart rate up.
Maybe if I did it with a few weights as well.
There you go.
See, now I'm making it unique to me. I can do it in between things and so on and so forth. I don't have to go anywhere.
Yeah.
I don't have to see anybody.
Yeah. Have you not got a rowing machine in that shed with all those bits of equipment?
No, I got rid of it. Stupidly, I got rid of it. I'm really quite, I saw a photograph of it the other day, and I'm thinking that would have come in really, really useful.
Yeah, the Concept 2 rowers are very good.
Is it?
Yeah, because it is a full body workout.
Yeah, I'm guessing you're using everything, aren't you?
Yeah, those Olympic rowers are really fit guys, and there's a reason for that. It's because rowing is something which really is very good for cardiovascular health.
Okay. Yeah. I will look into that.
Yeah. I at gym, I use the rowers as well. I do it for about... a few weeks ago, I did it for about 12 minutes.
Right.
Just to get, like, my legs and just the whole muscles to kind of... I wouldn't say, like, work again, but, like, kind of get more...
It's a very good warm-up, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very good warm-up, because you're going to get blood pumping all the way around your body, and it's good for your joint health as well. I know you have issues with your knees and stuff, so it's probably a good one for making sure that you know, your body's nicely warm before you do any more exercise. Yeah.
Okay, look, I've got a message here from Oscar's dad saying, cheers for the tip, dude.
Is that me?
You're a dude now.
All right. Okay, what's Oscar's dad's name?
Cheers for the tip. Chaz.
Which gym does he go to?
He goes to One Leisure.
One leg, I might see him up there. Yeah.
You probably will. He's the short, stocky chap with tattooed legs.
Oh, right.
And how else can we describe him? He's a bit of a rocker.
Well, if you tell Chaz that I'm the kind of the fool in the corner doing the headstands and the yoga before I start with my leggings on. So
he's the one in the corner probably eating the pies before he starts. Hence, he's a little bit stocky. Yeah. But cheers for the tip, dude. We'll do some rowing tonight.
Okay, right.
So I'm liking that idea of me doing the sit-ups now with a bit of a rowing effect coming on with some weights
boots
as well.
Upside your head going on, yeah.
So I'll carry on doing that. What are we doing? What, the next time you come in, what's the next stage? Set me some challenges.
Well, we need to... I need to give you a habit tracker, and then we need to effectively break one of your bad habits and then turn it into a good habit. So you need to kind of tell me, maybe off air, something that you think is a bad habit, and then we can see if we can break that.
Hey, look, I'm honest. I'll tell you now. I don't have to. You know, I don't have any secrets from anybody. Probably my worst habit is I've got two that I can think of. I overeat.
Yeah, well, we're dealing with that one.
If I go out and there's a buffet and you think, oh, I'll just have one more. I'll just have a bit more. It's free. And that's the one thing. I do, you know, I had intimate... When you go out to, have a pub lunch and you say you've just spent X amount of pounds, I used to think, you've got to eat everything, otherwise you've wasted your money.
Mm.
And now there is an element of, well, I won't eat everything. I'm not in that mindset. I'm full. That's enough.
Yeah.
But there are times when I say, hang on a minute, let's have a few more chips. Let's eat the rest of them chips.
Is the carbohydrate, I don't think we've probably spoken about that enough, really, that if you're going to make a food choice, especially when you're out, then go for the protein, vegetables, green vegetables, and the fats, and not the carbohydrate.
Okay.
Because that's going to reduce your caloric intake, the amount of calories you're having, very, very quickly. But you can eat more vegetables for less effect, so you can fill yourself up with vegetables,
right?
And not not potatoes or turnips and stuff, but broccoli and those sort of things, green beans and those sort of vegetables. You can fill yourself up with those, eat as many of those as you like,
and
then if you put a nice meat sauce with it, like a steak or pork chops or something, or chicken, then you can have a really nice tasty meal with a bit of cheese on it. I like burgers with blue cheese on, and a Greek salad. And it's virtually no carbohydrate in it at all, and it's lovely.
Okay.
And it fills you up.
My other big habit is alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't drink during the course of the week. I am greedy when it comes
down. But I've seen what your weekend is. I mean, on your numbers, you saw that you took what is basically a 1,800, 2,000 calorie food intake on the weekend. Yeah. You turned it into 3,500 calories with your alcohol on top.
Yeah.
That's what you did, basically. Yeah. So if you can stop drinking, or at least put it down to a, you know, again, on your plan, I didn't take you, you know, I left you some beer and I left you a brandy. It just wasn't, you know, three or four beers and three or four brandies. It was,
well,
it
only
was one on a Saturday and yeah, one on a Sunday.
It's like six beers over a weekend and probably yeah. a couple of large brandies.
Yeah,
I did, you know, didn't drink at all alcohol wise Friday and Saturday last week.
Yeah,
but I made up for it on Sunday.
But understand the implications of your actions. Now I'm going to get quite harsh here, and people might disagree with me, but there's a kind of a mentality, especially with middle-aged men, that drinking is a manly thing to do. From a metabolic perspective, it's not. It's absolutely the complete reverse. The more alcohol you drink, the more fatty deposits you put onto your liver, which are hollow calories anyway. The larger your belly becomes, the more estrogen you rise because you've got more body fat. You're actually then estrogen, testosterone, female and male hormones. The more estrogen you have, the more female you are. And the more female you are, the more body fat you have the propensity to put down. Therefore, okay. it's a vicious circle. So drinking a huge amount of alcohol actually, without being too funny about it, turns you into a woman.
All right, that hurts, doesn't it?
Well, that sounds harsh,
isn't it? There'll be people out there saying, hey, hang on a minute, there's nothing wrong with that, which is fine. I take the point.
Yeah,
and,
but from a metabolic body fat perspective, you have more estrogen when you have more body fat. So you have more of the female hormone than the male hormone, testosterone.
Okay, well, the good news is the wife's done her back in and she's on these strong painkillers and she's not having any alcohol for a whole month, so I find it very difficult when she's not drinking for me to drink as well, so that's a good time.
That's a good time,
but
yeah.
But the one bad thing is that somebody bought me a bottle of my favourite rum for my birthday and I've got half of it left. So if I spread that out over a longer period of time, we should be all right, and then after that say, right, we're going to limit it to the very basics.
Yeah.
That's my plan.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a saint monk. I do have... alcohol now and again. I have the gin and tonic.
Good for you. Hey, look, we're running out of time. Just cool. give us some details. Where can we find out more details about you?
Website, the 3 W's, the fitmindsetcode .com, or you can follow me on Instagram at fitmindset, and the Facebook page as well at fitmindsetcode. So, and you can message me through any of those platforms.
When do you want to come back in again? You've got 30 seconds.
Come in a month, shall we?
In a month's time.
I want to see, what I need to see is where you are with your weight after a month being strict with the regime.
Okay, so the first, the Wednesday that's closest to the 19th of July, that's what we do.
Okay.
Brilliant. Thank you for coming in,
Danny. My pleasure.
Thanks for your help as well.
Okay.
Thanks, Oscar. Stand by because Archie's on the way with his mum and Uncle John as well with the show.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.